mothers feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before the thin chocolate rain. The school books say it can't be here again. Chocolate rain. The prisons make you wonder where it went. Chocolate rain. Build a tent and say the world is dry. Chocolate rain. Zoom the camera out and see the light. Chocolate rain. Forecast to be falling yesterday. Chocolate rain. Only in the past is what they say. Chocolate rain. Raise your neighborhood insurance rates. Chocolate rain. Makes us happy living in a gay. Chocolate rain. Made me cross the street the other day. Chocolate rain. Made you turn your head the other way. Chocolate rain. History quickly crashing through your veins. Chocolate rain. Using you to fall back down again. Chocolate rain. History quickly crashing through your veins. Chocolate rain. Using you to fall back down again. Chocolate rain. Seldom mentioned on the radio. Chocolate rain. It's the fear your leaders car control. Chocolate rain. Worse than swearing, worse than calling names. Chocolate rain. Say it publicly and you're insane. Chocolate rain. No one wants to hear about it now. Chocolate rain. Which real hard it goes away somehow. Chocolate rain. Makes the best of friends begin to fight. Chocolate rain. But did they know each other in the light? Chocolate rain. Every February washed away. Chocolate rain. Stays behind as colors celebrate. Chocolate rain. The same crime has a higher price to pay. Chocolate rain. The judge and jury swear it's not the face. Chocolate rain. History quickly crashing through your veins. Chocolate rain. Using you to fall back down again. Chocolate rain. History quickly crashing through your veins. Chocolate rain. Using you to fall back down again. Chocolate rain. Dirty secrets of economy. Chocolate rain. Turns that body into GDP. Chocolate rain. The Belka blames the baby's DNA. Chocolate rain. But test scores are how much the parents make. Chocolate rain. Flipping cars in France the other night. Chocolate rain. Cleans the sewers out beneath Mumbai. Chocolate rain. Across the world and back, it's all the same. Chocolate rain. Angels cry and shake their heads in shame. Chocolate rain. Lift the ark of paradise and send chocolate rain. Which part do you think you're living in? Chocolate rain. More than marching, more than passing law. Chocolate rain. Remake how we got to where we are. Chocolate rain. History quickly crashing through your veins. Chocolate rain. Using you to fall back down again. Chocolate rain. History quickly crashing through your veins. Chocolate rain. Using you to fall back down again.
around the world.
Wow.
I'm here in the United States. Wow. Hello, hello, Jay. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored, Karen. How are you? How was your Christmas? We didn't do a show last week because it was Christmas Eve, and that's usually
yes,
my busy time of the year. I'm gone for like 3 days between Christmas Eve and the day after Christmas, and I finally made it back home on Thursday, and it was good to sleep in my own bed. But how are you?
I am doing really good, thanks, and just kind of contemplating that this is the last day of the year, 2013. And what that means for us the year prior, and then saying goodbye to that year and walking into a fresh new 2014. And it probably will be an interesting year as well as it was last year, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely, especially the way things are going in this crazy mixed up world. Everything that as Christians annoyed us and bothered us last year, it's going to be the same this year coming up. I already know it. And that's the reason why we have to take a bolder stand. We have to speak louder with our voices. Because things aren't getting any better for Christians.
Well, that's true, Jay. And, you know, this is important for us to get the Word of God hidden in our hearts and get to know God so that we can have an intelligent and thought-provoking and spiritual conversation with people. You know, people are looking for spiritual answers, looking for answers in general to life, and they're expecting more than us just giving them the gospel. You know, these are people who, for the most part, we're becoming a godless nation where a lot of people haven't been taught anything about the Bible. They're clueless. They don't even know anything. And we a lot of times assume that people know, and so we go from there and start talking. But the thing is, you know, we're up against atheism. We're up against evolution. We're up against science being pitted against faith and against God and creationism and the Bible. And so we have got to arm ourselves seriously and be ready with an answer and, you know, have some discussions with people about God's word. And you know, it's interesting, Jay. I just want to bring this up real quick. You know, this Bible series that was on this year on the History Channel was all about the stories of the Bible.
Right.
And we know that in colleges a lot of myths and stories and such are brought up in culture and civilizations past. And so, you know, this Bible series was really popular because, oh, look at the cute stories in the Bible. And that's kind of what our world is trying to say that the Bible is, just a bunch of fables and fairy tales and stories that aren't real and not to be taken literal.
Right.
And I see that there's at least two movies coming out, actually three that I can think of. One is The Son of Man, which is about Jesus' life in the New Testament. Another one is going to be Russell Crowe, I think, is going to be Noah in a story about Noah. And then there's The Legend of Hercules, which brings up the fact that Hercules was the son of Zeus, I believe. Again, here we are going back to mythology, rolling all of this kind of fantasy story, mythology in together from Hollywood.
Right.
So people are getting the idea that the Bible is just a book of, you know, fables and stories, and that's far from the truth. You know, the Bible is the inspired word penned by the Holy Spirit, by God himself, and it's
Amen.
Sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is alive. It's a living word by a living God, and make no mistake, it is not just a book written by a bunch of guys of 66 books in a Bible, or in a, you know, 66 chapters, I'm sorry, books that are in this volume, and that's kind of what they're trying to water it down to, you know, along with Jesus being just a prophet and candy coating that he was not God in the flesh, but
right.
Anyway, just,
you know,
an observation.
You know, the way Jesus is portrayed in popular culture, I know A lot of folks listening might not, you know, watch some of the newer TV shows, and I'm a big fan of the even though they're vulgar and raunchy humor, I'm a big fan of the Sunday night cartoons on Fox Network, Fox Television Network. It's just a comedy, you know, anything that makes me laugh, and a lot of the stuff is over the edge, you know. I will say it, and I feel guilty for watching it, but I like to laugh, and sometimes we have to laugh at ourselves. But the way Jesus is portrayed in pop culture, especially in these cartoons, is he is likened to the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus or a leprechaun, you know, things like that, and it's kind of sad to see generations growing up watching this stuff, and that being the only information that they get about Jesus Christ is through these cartoons and whatnot. You know, it's disturbing. But I mean, that's just the way popular culture is. You can go to, you know, a lot of these different chat rooms around here on Blog Talk Radio. It's not too bad, but you know, go to like Justin TV or anything like that, or you know, I might be sheltered. You know, I might be sheltered here because I don't do a lot of chat rooming like we used to, you know, back in the old days, you know, when we first all started here on Blog Talk Radio. So I might be kind of insulated, I guess, from what goes on here on Blog Talk Radio. But as far as I can tell, it's not as bad as some other forums where you just mention Jesus and you just get laughed out of the room or ridiculed. And that's the mentality of, sadly, a majority of people.
Well, that's it. I mean, we know we're in the end days. We know that there's a huge battle spiritually for the souls of men. That's what this is about. This war is about us. It's about our eternal life. And specifically, you know, when Jesus Christ came to the earth, he was considered a radical rebel. He was considered full of blasphemy, declaring himself to the rulers, or I should say the religious leaders of the day, by stating that he could forgive sin, and that he, when they asked him if he was the Son of God, he said, "I am." That is an Old Testament name for God. The Jews knew what he was insinuating and what he was saying, where he said, "If you've seen the Father, you've seen me." There were all these things that he said that the Jews knew what he was implying, and that was that he was God in the flesh, God's Son. And, you know, when you go back into the Hebrew, Jay, I don't know, I'm not a real Bible scholar, but I did read something recently that when the Bible uses the word begot or beget, it usually implies that, like, say, cats have kittens, dogs have dogs, men have humans. He was claiming to be the Son of God, so to them he was saying, "I am the Son of God, I'm directly from God," and that to them was blasphemy. So he is stated in the Bible as God's only begotten Son, who God gave as a perfect sacrifice for atonement of the sin of rebellion that mankind has waged against God from the Garden of Eden. And this is what this whole Christmas that we just went through is about, is that God came, Emmanuel, he was God with us in the flesh, fully God and fully man, and he came for a mission. And he came to be an atonement for the sins of all the world who would accept this gift that he had given. Because everyone, you know, the Bible tells us that sin, the wages of sin is death. So if Christ had not come and paid that penalty for us, that atonement, or paid that and made us not guilty, we would have to, you know, give account for that before God, because he's a just God and he can't abide by sin. We inherited this nature from our original parents, Adam and Eve, you know, brought sin into the world. And, of course, like we mentioned a couple of weeks ago on our Christmas show, and I'm not going to get into all that again, but, you know, the fact that Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden and original sin are trying to be discredited, then we don't need Jesus on the cross if there is no original sin. So you can see how, you know, Satan's minions have worked through men to discredit the creation story, to discredit that he formed Adam and Eve in the image of God. And Eve was not evolved. She was taken from a rib, Adam's rib, and formed by God. And so this goes, you know, this doesn't work in with the whole evolution thing. And there's chinks in it. So we just, you know, we hear, just throw it all out. It was just a story anyway. And or, you know, the atheists just have said, forget the whole thing. You know, there's nothing. Nothing came from nothing, I guess. Or something came from nothing.
Right, exactly. I love how Ravi Zacharias puts it, too. He has such a way of explaining that, you know. I just love it. Because he's comical, but he makes really good points. And that's how he talks about, you know, atheism, nothing from something from nothing, you know. That's great. So, you know, one of the big stories this past year, Karen, is this homosexual agenda. And I believe that we need to touch on it. One thing that I want to say right off the top is what you do in your personal life is between you and God. The only concern I have is for your eternal soul. That's it. I'll tell you what the Bible teaches us about your behavior, and I'll pass it on to you, but I won't pass judgment. That's not my job. So, but I wanted to put that out there because a lot of people have this, and rightfully so, I will say, they have this attitude about most Christians that are, you know, they're judgmental and they look down at you and things like that. And as a Christian, I know a lot of people who are like that. But I'm here to tell you, and most of the folks here would agree, I think, that, you know, we don't look down our nose at you. We will tell you what our faith teaches us. And we'll pass the word on to you and pray for your soul. But we're not going to sit idly by and allow this agenda to overtake our culture. You know, we're not going to allow this to become normalized behavior, because it's not.
Well,
but that's
that
been a
is
big,
the agenda.
Right, and
right
that was
there,
a big,
you hit it.
Yep, that was a big push this year. For gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender rights, and they've equated it to the equal rights movement of the '60s, which I honestly think is a slap in the face to all the people who suffered through those that very dark time in our history. I think it's a slap in the face to equate the plight of the homosexual to the plight of the African-American here back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, things like that. But that's how it's being talked about. That's how it's being presented. And for people who don't know anything, for folks who just depend on getting their talking points and two-minute sound bites from local and national news, they're only getting part of the story, because the way it's being portrayed is that the majority of Americans are behind this movement. Well, I'll tell you what, the majority of Americans are conservative. And if they weren't afraid of speaking out, they would tell you that they're against it. But that's the problem. You know, we have been conditioned now to where we can't even speak out about these things for fear of, you know, repercussions.
Well, that's it, Jay. And, you know, they have done a very good job of taking what is considered behavioral and made it into an identity. And that has been one of the big keys in it, to redefine behavior that is considered in Romans 1 to be not acceptable behavior. Okay, it's considered sin by God. That's, you know, we didn't write the book. God wrote the book. God calls what he wants sin. There's plenty of sexual sins in the Bible. Sex before marriage is fornication. Sex after marriage with another person is adultery. The Bible says that homosexual sex by men or women is a sin. Drunkenness is a sin. There's plenty of sins in listed in the Bible. And the reason that God doesn't like this is because sin separates us from God. God cannot walk with us when we are in a in willful sin, rebelling against what he says is right and wrong morally. And he's the one that has the only authority to declare what is right and wrong in the human race and in the world, okay? So as Christians, we believe what God says, and we are against the behavior, just like we're against the idea or the ideology of Islam. We're not right. about being against the people that are involved in this. We love the people that are involved in it. We love the people that are involved in adultery. We love the people that are involved in fornication. We love people who have committed the sin of murder in abortion. Those are behaviors that people do. It's not who they are. Okay? So what we're doing is taking a stand on what the Bible calls sin, while loving and understanding and having compassion for people caught up in sin. That's what it is. But then what has ended up happening is that especially we seem to want to single out the gay movement as kind of this special sin. But, you know, really, I mean, these other sins are just as
sin is sin, right?
as destructive. Yeah. And so it's not that, you know, we're making that a special category. It's all of those behaviors that God calls sin are behaviors that need to change. They need to be, you know, repented of, turned away from. Or what we're seeing in the world is a rebellion against God's ways. And this is what this whole issue is about. So as Christians, we get rolled into this this newly defined, politically correct agenda. And this is so, you know, if we are really tolerant, you know, the real definition, Jay, of tolerance is to be, you know, to let other people believe and do whatever they want. We do that. They have a right. Even God himself gives us choices to make choices, right?
Right.
We believe that that people have, all people have a right to live their life the way they want to. But we cannot condone behaviors that the Bible calls sinful. We can't. We're not judging. We're making an evaluation according to God's word. God's word is what judges. We're not the judge of anybody, and certainly that kind of rolls over into somebody's eternal life, because God says that only God, or the Bible says that only God knows the heart of a man. And, of course, we're not going to say who's going to hell and who's going to heaven and who's going to be, you know, eternally where they're going to be. That's not our job. But what our job as Christians is to stand on that word. And like you said, Jay, we're you know, the Bible tells us a lot to be bold, to be courageous, to be sober-minded, to stand firm. These are verbs that are very strong, you know, to be strong in the power of his might, to stand for the truth, to stand for Christ, to stand for what we believe in, and that's what we're doing. And, of course, it's going to get opposition. It's going to get persecution. It's going to get opposition. Christ himself died for what he brought into the world is truth. And so we as his followers and his ambassadors are also going to be treated like Christ. I mean, we're going to have opposition because we're separate from the general view, worldview of the world. That is not God's kingdom. That's Satan's kingdom. So,
amen.
You know, it's a fight. It's a fight. And yet in between all of this, we have to remember that people are involved. You know, Christ was unrelenting on sin. He hates it. because he knows how destructive it is. He knows that it separates him from us. But you know what? He was full of compassion and mercy and forgiveness and love to the people involved in whatever sin they were doing.
Right.
So you speak truth with grace together. You don't club somebody over the head with the truth without having the grace to go with it. So truth and grace are maybe something that we should think about for the next coming year. As we speak God's word, let's not get legalistic and judgmental and condemning, because that kind of spirit will never be received. That's not of God. You know, God wants us to have that compassion and that love for people, but the world is kind of going with this warm and fuzzy Jesus, but they're forgetting that there is a just God who will judge sin. And the ones like us who are courageous enough to say, call sin what it is, give hope that we don't have to be under the dominion of sin any longer when we come into Christ Jesus. When we're born again, we become new creations in Christ. And the good news is that we're pulled out of that darkness into Christ, or into God's marvelous light, and we are no longer under sin's dominion. We're not in bondage to it anymore. That doesn't mean we're never going to sin. Doesn't mean we're ever, never going to make mistakes. But we're not under the dominion of it.
Yeah, I am far from the perfect Christian that people tend to think that. Some folks tend to think that Christians believe they are. I'm far from it. I am the lesser of the least. I tell you, if it wasn't for God reaching down to pull me up, I wouldn't be proclaiming so proudly that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, because I was lost. So, you know, you don't have to be a perfect person, because none of us are. And woe to those who think that they are. They are sadly mistaken.
Well, that's right, Jay, and that's what works is all about. Thinking that we can work our way, that we can somehow make ourselves righteous. And the Bible clearly says that we are saved by grace, not by works, that any man should boast. And so the good news is, and what the freedom of Christ is to me, Jay, is that when you realize that it's not about works that you do, but it's about what Christ did, there's such a freedom in that, because all of a sudden you're free to be human. You're free to walk with God and to want to obey him and want to do works out of love for him. And there's a lightness and a joy and a freedom and a peace in all of that that is just, it's wonderful. Christ came to set us free from the bondages. He wants our, you know, our life to be abundant. He wants our life to be blessed. It's not an easy life, and he'll help us get through it. You know, but all the time that God is helping us, it's forming and forging our character. It's always for something good that comes out of it. The situation itself might be horrible, but God will use that, because he gives us promises that we can stand on. And one of those is that, you know, he will use those things that we go through to turn them for good, for his glory and for our good and our character, and maturing us and shaping us into the image of Christ. And that's really good news, because we don't have to make ourselves into something, because we're already righteous, covered by the blood of Christ. So that's done. That's over. That's why we're considered perfect, because of Christ's blood. Okay, that's the perfection. But now we get to work out our salvation with fear and trembling as we go on and learn and repent. We learn to forgive. We learn to lean on God and trust God. And, you know, it's a great way to live. I mean, we get to know the God of the universe, the living God, who is not just somebody that we bow down to five times a day and go through all these rote rituals that don't matter, that are dead. You know, Jesus said, don't pray vain and repetitious prayers over and over and over. We can go to God and we can just talk to him like I'm talking right now. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, I think some folks think that I talk to myself because I'm in prayer a lot. And sometimes I could be standing online, you know, for the grocery checkout and just be talking to God, you know, and just be in prayer. And I'll get some looks from people there. Oh, this guy's talking to himself. You know? But no, you know, prayer doesn't, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to go to a special place to have a relationship to talk with God. You know, you can do it in every single moment of your life. You know, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a bartender or a waitress, it doesn't matter. You can throughout your day, just you know, say hi, Father. You know, thank you for everything. Just have a conversation, mm-hmm. form a relationship, a friendship.
Well, and that's the neat thing, yeah, right, Jay, that, you know, we feel God's presence. We feel him with us. He says he will never leave nor forsake us. He's with us always. And Jesus said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. We can be assured that God is faithful and true to his word, that he's not a man that he should lie, that he never changes, his word never changes. That is such good news, at least I feel it is, because there's so many changes that go on in the world, Jay, that it makes your head spin. And we can hang on to the rock, the anchor of Christ in his word and the promises that we've been given and know protection. And there's unconditional love, acceptance, forgiveness, mercy, grace. And it's a beautiful thing. It's an inside thing. When we become alive in Christ, we become born again. That's when we really are spiritually alive. And I love it. I mean, that's why yeah. we're excited. We want people to experience this and to be connected with the God who wants to reveal himself to us, has revealed himself, and is willing to walk with us every single day. He even knows the hairs on our head, the Bible says.
And yeah, that count has been getting lesser and lesser for me.
Well, he might have known what was there at least.
Right. Or maybe he's got the final count. I don't know. It's receding quickly. that's what happens
well,
when you get old.
Fortunately, we're outwardly kind of sagging and wrinkling and losing hair and
that just
all
means
that.
Means we're getting closer to heading home. That's all.
Well, that's it. But you know, our inner man, what's inside of us. Like I said, as we mature and grow into the image of Christ and we become mature and walking with God, we are getting bigger and bigger and bigger and better inside so that one day when we stand before Christ, we will know him. He will see us and we'll see him. And that's going to be a glorious day. You know, we already have eternal life right now, but when we see him face to face, we'll know him. And, you know, I would take Christianity and being a follower of Christ any day of the week over any other religion that this world has to offer. Because this is not a man-made religion. This is an intimate walk with him. Abiding in Christ is so much different, Jay, than, you know, a religion. That kind of puffs you up and makes you feel somewhat spiritual and, oh, aren't we enlightened? No, we're not enlightened. That's a deception that the devil has set up to take us away from the living Christ and from the cross and from reconciliation with God. And that's how you can test whether something is really of God. If it leads you away from the cross, if it leads you away from the deity of Christ, where he is not God, then forget it. It's not of God. It's of Antichrist. It's another gospel. It's another Jesus. It's another spirit. So in order to discern that, though, we've got to read our Bible and ask God to help you understand.
Right, ask for clarity.
Spend that time. Yeah, spend the time. He will eventually. You know, you don't sit down and read a graduate textbook in college like you would the very beginning of your schooling. Kindergartners don't read the same thing that a graduate from college is reading. So you've got to be patient. You've got to spend the time. Try not to get overwhelmed. Start maybe in the Gospels. Start in, you know, just letting that all sink in. See how Jesus, what he did when he came. And God will lead you. You know, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit's job is to lead us into all truth. So we don't have to worry about getting it. We don't have to go, oh, man, I got to learn this. I got to get this to figure this out. No, God will reveal himself and his truth to us, to our spirits. And right. But we have to take the time to spend with him. I mean, any relationship, Jay, you've got to spend some time or you're not going to know the person. So
absolutely, you know, reading the Bible daily or weekly, you know, whatever you can do, daily preferably, yes, would be ideal. But if you're new to the Bible, if you've had a Bible sitting on your shelf collecting dust all these years and you're interested and you don't know where to start, you can do the old, you know, start at Genesis and work your way to Revelation. That's fine. For me, as a I won't say new Christian, but as a new Bible reader about 10 years ago, I started with Proverbs. Short, concise, and good messages, and then I moved on to Psalms after that for the same reason. I didn't mm-hmm. want to read Genesis 1 all the way to the end. You know, it seemed to begin with that it was just too time-consuming, so I figured, okay, somebody told me about Proverbs. And they're short. They're not as long as other books of the Bible, other verses and whatnot. So I started there and then moved on to Psalms. And I absolutely love Psalms. Psalms is my favorite book of the Bible out of all of them because there's so much wisdom in Psalms. And I absolutely love it. And that would be my suggestion for folks who aren't comfortable mm-hmm. reading the Bible every day or seem overwhelmed by the task. It start out with Proverbs, mm-hmm. read a couple a day. Start mm-hmm. out with Psalms, read a couple a day. That's fine. It'll get your juices flowing. It'll invite the Holy Spirit into your heart.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, God says if we seek him, we'll find him. And he's there to be found. He's revealed himself, and he wants to reveal himself. And just like in the natural, in a relationship, you don't know everything about a person right off the bat. You have to spend time with them. You have to talk with them, let them talk with you, get to know them. And over time, you know a person better than when you first met them. A year from the time you meet someone, you know them a lot better. For each year that rolls on, you know a person better and better. You get more familiar and acquainted with them. And that's the way we can be with God, you know. I believe that there's 31 Proverbs. Yeah, there is. 31 Proverbs, Jay. So if you, like, for a while, I did the same thing where, like, today is the 30th. So I would go Proverbs 30, and I would just open it and read the 30, you know, the Proverbs 30. And then, like, tomorrow will be the first. So you go to the first. Proverbs 1. So for each day of the month, there's 31 of these that you can read. It's an easy way to just kind of remember. And they're not like in connected, you know, you don't have to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to get all of it read. Like you said, there's all these little, this wisdom in Proverbs. So that's kind of a really good discipline to do. And, of course, the Psalms, like, the 23rd Psalm has always been one of my very, very favorite Psalms. And David in the Bible in the Psalms is, he had such a heart for God. And a lot of, you get to see David in his depression. You get to see David in his sin. You get to see David in his humanness. And a lot of the Old Testament, you know, is about Jewish tradition and cultural tradition and what happened and God, you know, walked history of God in the Jews. He made a covenant with Abraham, and that covenant will never be broken. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, the Jews do really bad things, and if they're God's people, why do they do such bad things? Well, they rejected Jesus, a good bit of them did, when he came as the Messiah. And they continued on in their traditions. They continued wandering around and doing things. I'm sure God isn't real happy with the way that they've conducted themselves. But God, once he makes a covenant, he will not ever break that covenant. So these are God's people for good or bad. I mean, however they are, he will never leave them. And, you know, this is the whole story of the Old Testament, Jay, where they would, you know, cry out to God and draw close to him, and then they get all these benefits, and they get kind of like they forget about it, so they'd run off and do things they weren't supposed to, get into pagan things, get into, you know, false gods, and get, you know, mingling with people that God told them not to. They were always doing rebellious things and walking away from God. But every time they got in big trouble, they'd call out to him, and he would eventually come and deliver them and to, you know, help them. And sometimes they had some pretty hard lessons to learn before he actually reconciled with them. But he was faithful and is faithful to all of us that love him. He, you know, he just... someday when Christ comes again, the Jews will realize that Jesus was the Messiah that they rejected. But until then, you know, we look at the Jews, and the Jews are like us. I mean, we do stuff. You know, God, we probably hurt God's feelings many times by, you know, putting other things first before him and forgetting the things that he's done for us and, you know, being angry and selfish and just being human, you know. But God is faithful, and he's not a man that he should lie. That's the cool thing. God is perfect, and he is to be trusted. He's faithful and true and trustworthy. So we're the mess, you know, that he has grace and mercy for. But, you know, I was just speaking of the Jews, Jay. I had a story that Doc had sent me that was kind of, it was about Israel. Let's see if I can pull it up here. And it's kind of disheartening, and you wonder, you know, and I know that people would say, well, see, the Jews aren't God's people, you know, because look what they're doing. But like I said, they will always be his people. And, you know, us, we are grafted in to being God's children because of Christ right now. So we are God's people as well. Let me see here. Oh, man, it just, my computer has been being weird lately. I don't know. Okay. Let's see if I can get this in chat. This article sent. Now Israel, we're always taking a stand also against abortion. We believe abortion is murder. We believe that the sanctity of life should be for everyone, whether they're unborn or they're 100 years old. All of life should be beautifully, you know, honored. And in this article, or this news story, Israel will give out free abortions to women aged 20 to 33 starting in 2014. Now, I didn't realize this, but apparently, regardless of the circumstances, a health commissioner is trying to make it so that you know, they're picking up the tab for this these abortions, but they don't have to have parental consent. For well, any the reason, thing, they can have an abortion.
Yeah, the same thing happens here, Karen. You know, at 16 years old, a young lady can get an abortion if her school doctor claims it necessary, and they don't even have to tell the parents.
Well, that's right. And, of course, it's big business over here. We know Planned Parenthood makes tons and tons of money, not only from the government, but from, the people paying for the abortions. And as here, the fathers of these babies have no say in the abortions in Israel under Israeli law. And that's the other tragedy, is that, you know, the men, the dads, are just kind of rolled over and completely ignored, like they don't matter. The baby doesn't matter. The dads don't matter. All that matters is that the woman is, has an unplanned pregnancy or an unwanted pregnancy, and she wants it over with. And, Jay, I was thinking, if we took all the money that the government gives to Planned Parenthood and we also took the money, that people are paying for abortions, to fund and help crisis pregnancy centers find homes and such for these children. You know, all these crisis pregnancy centers are privately funded. They don't get government help. So if we could work on that for the babies that are here and maybe help this issue, as we've talked about it many times on this network, is one that's not going to ever go away. Because all the while that we're talking about the sanctity of life, we have a culture that is a death culture that is promoting sexual promiscuity, sexual fornication, pretty much educates kids on sexual perversion, on sexual, diseases. When they go into the, to the school and teach about sexuality, teach about all of this at a young age, not to mention the music industry and every other kind of media that's around us that promotes sex for recreational sex. We got a moral, spiritual problem here, and it's not going to go away. So we have to take each case, I guess, and try to do what we can in the sphere of influence that we have, and just try to speak the truth and be with the people. And there are options. I have a family member who experienced an unplanned teenage pregnancy. And she had the baby, and the baby was adopted. And the people that adopted this baby could not have children, and they desperately wanted kids and had been praying for a baby to adopt. And God's hand was upon this just beautifully. And so these people who couldn't have children now have a family. They were going to adopt two or three kids because they wanted a family. And they were ready for a family. So these crisis pregnancies don't always have to end in a bad ending. There's life. There's hope.
Amen. And you made a good point about these pregnancy crisis groups don't get government funding. And I was kind of thinking to myself, well, of course not, because they don't. They're not set up in the poorest communities or in communities with the younger populations like universities and whatnot, where Planned Parenthood is set up. Makes you wonder what their true agenda is when they're set up in the poorest neighborhoods or with the youngest or neighborhoods with the youngest populations. Makes you really kind of wonder what their true agenda is, because you don't see Planned Parenthood in the well-to-do communities as frequently as you do in the poorer communities.
Well, absolutely, and all over in the college campus areas.
Right.
I mean, so this thing is funded right from the very get-go in the public schools. They go into the schools. They push all of this stuff. They talk about, birth control. They make it funny. In fact, it was interesting. I came across a show here on BTR not too long ago, and it was by a couple of teenagers that, you know, talk about teen issues and this and that. And they happen to have a representative from Planned Parenthood as their guest. And so I just sat in to see what it would be that they were talking about. And, you know, it's a good thing to kind of know firsthand what the teens are experiencing and what they think about things. And, of course, they were kind of making fun of it. I mean, laughing about having sex. And it was just a big, you know, oh, I don't know, how do you know when you're ready? And they were all laughing, and it was just ha, ha, ha. But the one thing that the gal from Planned Parenthood did not bring up was anything much about this sexually transmitted diseases and the complications that come with that. She talked about birth control. But, you know, we know for a fact that their birth control that they give out is the lowest level of birth control that is possible from a chemical standpoint, and also that these kids are not going to take the birth control pills regularly. Teens are notorious for being, you know, impulsive and this, that, and the other. So they're not going, that's not the answer to give them, you know, protection. They need to understand what it means to take responsibility for having sex.
Well, they can't even take responsibility for their own actions. That's the kind of society we live in now, though. You know, everybody,
right.
it's always society's fault for whatever ills that someone commits, whatever deviant acts they participate in. It's always somebody else's fault. There's no accountability anymore.
Well, and right, and there's a safety net. It's like, I'm not going to worry about protection because, oops, if I get pregnant, I can take Plan B pills. Or if you know, I can go to an abortion clinic and get an abortion and take care of the problem, as Obama called the, you know, the burden of a baby or whatever, however he said.
Right.
In his famous speech. But I'm just saying that, you know, why worry about birth control anyway? Because you can just go get it taken care of in other means. And so a lot of this is used as birth control. It's not really like a, you know, it's supposed to be safe, rare, and all of this, you know, that they like to brag that, you know, they want abortion safe and rare. It's neither. I mean, if one thing showed us last year in 2013 were the horrible trials and court cases of these abortionists that were doing these horrible, just filthy conditions, and women who were dying left and right, and clinics that had been shut down because the health department had not been there. It was just, it's horrible. So as far as it being safe, you know, not to mention, I mean, this girl was talking about this IUD as a form of birth control, and, you know, when you do that, when you have those, she was making light of it, but it's a surgical procedure to have one of those, and it's also associated, you have to sign like a hold harmless clause, because they can perforate the uterus, they can do all kinds of things that can cause sterility down the road. So these girls, you know, think, oh, I'll just go get an IUD put in and you know, we'll be all set. Well, this is just, you know, Satan's way of promoting harmful behavior again that he knows full good and well is going to lead to heartache and pain.
Right. Right. You know, you brought up a point earlier where folks, you know, they have this misconception that, you know, this religion or this faith, this walk with Jesus, this is a bondage. This is slavery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And only someone who doesn't know or doesn't have a relationship with the Lord would think that. Because it really is a freeing of all the bondage that you've been
mm-hmm.
in. But you try to explain that to people who don't have that relationship with the Lord, and it kind of goes in one ear and out the other.
Well, that's it, Jay. There's spiritual principles in life, just like there's natural laws such as gravity. There's spiritual principles that are at work, whether we acknowledge those or not, whether we believe in God or not. The fact is, God has set up, he created humanity and the earth. He has created the system in the way that it's supposed to be. And in the beginning, it was beautiful and perfect in paradise. Now that we have all of this, sin and nastiness that we live with every day at the sight of heaven, we've got these problems now, and we have to deal with it. And, of course, we have an enemy who promotes the lies and the deception that, if it feels good, do it. Just do whatever you want to do. You don't need any of these limitations or
right.
these restrictions. And, you don't need a tyrant God telling you what to do about everything. Just do whatever you want. Well, it hasn't worked out too well. There's many people that are on drugs, that have committed suicide, that are, in dysfunctional relationships and angry and unhappy because they're trying to do it on their own. And it's never going to work. It's never going to work. Nothing the world offers you will ever solve the problem. Because the only problem that will pull you out of that dominion of sin is being reconciled through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is the answer. And you will never have peace and contentment and true joy until you have settled and made your peace with God. And I'm not talking some energy God out there or some vague sense of a God that we can't know. I'm talking about the living God who's revealed himself to us and who is alive and is working in and through us. But people continue to try it, Jay. I mean, And then they get mad at God when it doesn't work out. They shake their fists and say, I don't want anything to do with this mess. And then, of course, we have organized religion that has made a heck of a mess. The Catholic Church, we've seen the denominations that have strayed from being true Christ followers. We've seen the prosperity gospels and all the false teachers that want to tickle people's ears. And, you can understand why the world says, I don't want anything to do with this. If that's your God, I don't want it. Well, those are just people and institutions that have perverted the word of God. They're not representative of Jesus Christ and God's true word. That's why we have to get into the word for ourselves so that we can discern these things.
Right. Amen. Amen. We've seen a lot of this going on this past year, and unfortunately it's going to continue on through the next year and the year after that. But there is this health care bill, the Affordable Care Act and all this stuff. Abortion coverage is part of the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to just let folks know that this fight isn't getting any easier.
Well, that's for sure. Jay, I was looking back over that we get a little magazine that has like summaries of the year in review. And, I was just going to touch on a couple of things. Since this is the last day of 2013, as we look back on the things that happened, and I'll just touch on them real quick if you think we could do that.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got time.
We don't have to get real in-depth, but if you follow the news all year, you've had some of these stories that stood out. And in January, Of course, we began with the federal government hurling toward the fiscal cliff, if you remember, and we had all of that sequester and, you know, a big mess. Let's see here. Tax hikes and mandated budget cuts that supposedly would gouge a hole in the fragile economy, and there was a lot of fear around that. February, we had at the Vatican, 85-year-old Pope Benedict announces he'd retire at the end of the month due to his growing infirmity. And he was actually the first pope to step down voluntarily since 1294, which was a big deal for the Catholic Church and for people who follow the popes and that institution. During February of last year, President Obama used his State of the Union speech to call for universal pre-kindergarten education, a hike in the minimum wage, and new gun regulation. In March, the last-minute negotiations between Republicans and Democrats failed, and the $85.4 billion in spending cuts mandated by the sequester take effect on March 1st. The sky doesn't fall, but there are substantial cuts to defense spending, medical research, and the Head Start program, and thousands of government employees are furloughed. So we had that going on there. Kim Jong in North Korea, he became quite the figure. He just recently had his own uncle executed, so it sounds like he's following suit with his family line. Let's see here. April, we saw the Boston bombings at the Boston Marathon, which wounded a lot of spectators, and we know that whole story. May, fighting in Syria enters its third year. So we know, you know, we're not going to go over everything about it, but, you know, these are just the top stories of things that happened last year. In June, Iranian voters choose the centrist cleric Hassan Rouhani to replace the hardline Mahul Ahmadinejad as president. That was a big change. And then, of course, Snowden. We had Edward Snowden, who was a former government contractor, reveals that the National Security Agency, or the NSA, had been keeping records of almost all U.S. phone activity for several years. So he blew the whistle on a lot of information that wasn't supposed to come out. Obama was saying, we're going to have to make some changes or some choices as a society. Of course, he was, I believe he's still in Russia, isn't he, Jay?
Yeah, he's still holed up there in Russia. There's no way he's coming back here to the States, Snowden. I don't see it happening simply because Russia has something over on the United States right now. And, you know, Russia has been our enemy. We have been their enemy for decades now. And this is something that Russia, Snowden, someone like Snowden, would have been ideal for Russia to get their hands on during the Cold War. But since they couldn't, they have him now. And I don't expect Snowden to ever reside in the United States again, simply because he probably won't live too long. that's just my thinking. You know, like I said, all these leaks and everything, I've talked about it on my show and on the show I do with Joseph and on many other shows. These NSA leaks, I don't believe, were by accident.
Right. Well, I know you've probably talked about this on your news shows throughout the year. You have Sundays, you have the your news show and touch on these stories. So people can go back in the archives and listen to those shows to get, you know, events that happened throughout 2013. Also, during June of last year, the Defense of Marriage Act, the Supreme Court struck that down, giving same-sex married couples full equality in the eyes of the federal government.
You know, I want to make a comment about that really quick. Excuse me, Karen, for just a minute. I want to make a comment about that. You know, for folks who have a short memory, and you're excused if you do, in this day and age, the way we get information at a breakneck pace, it's understandable if you forget some things. But the Defense of Marriage Act was signed into law by none other than President Slick Willie Clinton. And he was one of the first ones to come out this past year when that Defense of Marriage Act was struck down, applauding the decision that it was struck down. That just further proves that politicians will only do what is necessary to appease their voter base, and when no one's looking or when it's convenient, they flip-flop. They change their views.
Well, right. I mean, this whole thing revolves around popular opinion. I mean, even some of these decisions that the Supreme Court are making, you know, we know that they're politically placed there, these people, and then popular opinion sways their decision. I mean, what they say and what they determine is what will be, you know, considered law. And, and these politicians, you know, they're given money by the corporations and these special interest groups to pass laws that are conducive and good for the corporation. And they make any kind of promise that you want to hear. And they've got it down to a science. I have to say that the Obama campaign was brilliant. There's no doubt about it.
It was one of the slickest public relations tours. I mean, he did a whirlwind tour around the globe before he was even elected president. He declared himself president of the world, citizen of the world, the president. This was a slickly packaged public relations campaign, election campaign to get him elected. And the funny thing is that I lost my train of thought there. You know, this happens far too often. I was going to talk a little bit about Obama and his rise. Oh, that's the point I wanted to make. As dynamic as that election campaign was, the election campaign in 2016 is going to be a lot more. I don't want to say flamboyant, but a lot more boisterous. It's going to be a lot slicker.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing this, the way these campaigns are run now, they're more like popularity contests than presidential elections. I said it a couple years ago that if there were a reality TV show called Who's the Next President, you would get, 200 million people or more voting on that. And on an election day, when there's no reality show going, you're lucky to get a percentage of people out voting for that. People just don't really seem to care. And when you don't care about what your government does or what the politicians are doing, then you may as well, I won't say you're to blame, partially to blame, because you don't do anything about it, but by your silence, you're actually agreeing to what's being done. And the next political campaign, I mean, it's already started. We've already heard Hillary talking about 2016, and the Republicans are scrambling around to find their best candidate to throw out there. It doesn't matter until – there's a lot of things that need to happen for us to have fair elections. Let me just put it that way. And if you think that your one vote counts, unless you have an electoral college vote, your one vote really doesn't count. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that's just the way it is. But the campaigns are so slick and so well run that before Obama was even elected president back in 2008, he was coronated as king, basically. And there was such a groundswell of support. And I was guilty of the same thing back in, I believe it was 96, when Bill Clinton ran for office. Mm-hmm. Or no, it was 92. Oh, boy. No, was it 92? 96. 96, and then 2004, W took over for 12. 92. I'm trying to do the math in my head. Anyway, I was swept up. I was a young man in 92, just 21 years old, and I was swept up much like the younger generation, you know, back here in 2008 when Obama came in. You know, a lot of young folks have this idealistic liberal attitude, and it's mm-hmm. taught to them throughout school. You know, Bill Clinton came out, you know, when he was campaigning for the presidency, and he, that was a slick, packaged campaign. And a lot of folks connected with that. They felt close, like they knew him because he seemed like a regular person. And Obama kind of did the same thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I got swept up in it. I voted for Bill Clinton the first time around. But as I got older, I realized that the world isn't exactly like we were indoctrinated in school. As a matter of fact, the world is a lot more conservative, at least in our country here. We're a lot more conservative than the mainstream media would like the dumbed-down populace to believe. And my, as proof of that, just this recent fiasco, controversy with this Duck Dynasty show and Phil Robertson being put on leave for his views on homosexuality and gay marriage and things like that, there was such a groundswell of support that the network had no choice but to reinstate him. So when the pundits on television, the presenters, the broadcasters, the news hosts and whatnot, when they tell you that this country isn't conservative, that's something to look at, because corporations, advertisers, they do what's in their best interest, their bottom line interest. And
right.
this cable network took a huge backlash for removing this guy for his views. So we have more power than the media would let you know. And that's all by design. It's to keep you quiet, to shut you up, keep you in your corner so you don't speak out. But we have a loud vocal majority in this country, and we need to start speaking up. It can get things done.
Well, you know, I think a lot of, like you were talking about, we were talking about this campaign with Obama and then the, you know, the 2016, we can look forward to a brilliant, even more brilliant campaign. You know, right after Obama got elected, he was made the advertiser of the year, you know, by this ad ages. You know, they have like marketers and advertisers of the year, and Obama came in above Apple Computer, which was just huge. And the thing that, you know, they know how people think. They've got this stuff down to a science, whether it's buying consumer products, whether it's, you know, causing you to have a certain cell phone, a certain computer, a certain, you know, they know how we operate. They know how to advertise. And in the meantime, we've got kids in school that are being, you know, they're opening up, especially with this Common Core, they're bringing in political information into schools. So by the time these kids are voting ages, they're primed and ready to vote with a liberal mindset. I think the older people in our country are conservative, but I think quickly we are becoming the young kids, you know, in the universities, humanism is definitely being taught. You know, everything is becoming politically correct. Anything biblical is being snuffed out. I mean, even the Christmas decorations that we saw around, there's very few manger scenes unless it's like maybe in a church
right.
grounds or something like that. But if you go to a public park or somewhere, there, it's just Santa Claus and snowmen and candy canes and elves and pretend stuff and absolutely nothing about the birth of Christ in there at all. So what I'm seeing is, you know, these kids that are being indoctrinated, you know, they've got this stuff down to the science, and eventually, if we aren't careful, this agenda that's coming up, you know, America's not going to look like we have normally thought of. So, it, you know, between the greed and the influence of all of these corporations, and the way that the schools are indoctrinating kids, they want their votes. You know, they're getting them primed in thinking about social concerns, not just reading, writing, math, science, and those things, how to write a term paper, how to spell, how to write a sentence. You know, forget all that. We got this other social agenda, this politically correct agenda going on. It's being taught, and it's, you know, like you did a show on the Common Core curriculum, and it is very dangerous. Parents really need to know what's going on, and most parents don't know what's going on.
Right. You know, so, with that Common Core, I said it was the old No Child Left Behind on steroids. If you thought No Child Left Behind was bad, if you thought No Child Left Behind brought down the standards for testing, just wait till these Common Core standards take effect.
Well, that's right, Jay. And, you know, they're pushing out the Constitution and bringing in this global mindset that we're a global network. And so in the next few years, between the corporations leaving our country and between the mindset of, you know, not to mention that, you know, we can get online and talk somebody in China, we can talk to somebody in Australia, we can talk to somebody around the world with a click of a mouse. And, you know, so this global mindset, this one worldism that is being promoted, this peace and goodwill, and, you know, even the Pope, he's been, you know, he's got like an 88% popularity approval rating because he's talking about poverty and he's talking about peace and all those things that people want to hear about, which are all good things. But Jesus said that there would not be peace until he returned, only a false peace.
Amen.
But,
amen.
You know, Doc and I were talking earlier today, and I said, you know, before the Antichrist comes to rule and reign over a world system, the world system is being worked on right now before he's revealed. He will come once it's gathered up, but that's the direction that we're heading, and you can see it coming together just like puzzle pieces coming together. There's a lot of little organizations that people don't know about in on a whole that are working behind the scenes. They're quiet, they're slow, they're moving on. This is coming from years and years of an agenda that is moving towards what we believe from the Bible to be a one-world government.
Excuse me.
Because we know that there will come a world leader, political leader, and a false prophet who will run things. And, you know, the Bible says that the whole world will wonder after the beast or this leader. And the false prophet will point people to a false Christ, a false gospel type thing, or ecumenicalism, where everybody is getting along and we're all one. But, you know, God said for us to come out from the world, to be in it but not of it, and to be separate from it. And that seems to be the carnal sin, so to speak, that the world puts on us, is that we're separated, we're exclusive. We say that that Jesus is the only way to the Father, that he's the only way to eternal life and salvation. And that flies in the face of this warm and fuzzy one-worldism that's going on. So, you know, as these kids are being indoctrinated, starting in kindergarten, and they become, you know, 18 and ready to vote, it's going to be easy for the liberals to get their vote.
Oh, absolutely, and that's the reason why. Yeah, that's the reason why there's such a big push to get a college education too, because that just furthers the indoctrination. So by the time you go mm-hmm. to school for 12 years, 13 years, counting kindergarten, 14 if you're in preschool, and then you head into college for 2, 4, 8 years, you're fully indoctrinated into this liberal line of thinking. And then what are you going to do right after you get out of college? If you're lucky, you're going to get a job. So that's going to take up a lot of your time. So you don't really have time to think about these types of things, you know. So that's why I believe that's why there's such a big push to get people into, you know, colleges, to get people into, you know, college education, is to continue the indoctrination. And it goes on, I'll tell you that. It really does.
Well, we know that, you know, I was thinking, if I was Satan, where would I go? I would go, I mean, he attacks the unborn. He attacks the children in this country. There's many kids that are abused and neglected and murdered and all kinds of atrocities that go against kids. We have pedophiles that are attacking children and are trying to get the age of consent lowered. That's really going to be the next thing I think that's going to come in the next few years, Jay. I read an article out of the Toronto online, and they were talking about a researcher up there who's worked on studying pedophiles for the last 10 years and is pushing that this is an orientation, that this is something that they're born with, that there's nothing wrong with, you know, expressing yourself in this way with young children. And, you know, people laugh and they think that this isn't possible, but, you know, he's been working on this for 10 years, a whole decade, and before it's over with, just like all of these other things, all it has to do is to become, you know, something that's normalized, and it's going to be accepted. I can totally see it be accepted.
Right.
In fact, I'm going to put an article here in the chat that I came across tonight. Granted, this is in Italy, I understand. But, you know, with the influences the way that they are, and with Kenzie, and we've talked about him, look up Kenzie. We do some research on him if you haven't done Kenzie. He's kind of the father of the sexual revolution that we experienced over the last years. But anyway, in this article, Italy court overturns a pedophile conviction as 11-year-old is in love. So the 60-year-old man was, you know, his conviction for having sex with an 11-year-old girl was overturned because they failed to take into account their, quote, amorous relationship.
Really?
And so you're thinking, this just can't really be happening. Now, this guy was caught with this little girl after an investigation by the police based largely on wiretap evidence. So he gets convicted, and then this court overturns it. Again, it's becoming normal in this Kinsey. And, you know, our country and countries all over the world uses this Kinsey report and this Kinsey false science research on sexuality as an expert, and it's just nothing but corrupt science. It's not even science. It's not even research. It was basically he was a pedophile, did all kinds of perverted stuff, and put out a report at the University of Indiana. And it is still considered legitimate research, Jay. And this stuff is what is based, you know, he was talking about kids as up to 2 months old and claims that we're sexual at birth and that this is a natural thing, that adults should really be guiding children in a gentle way into their sexuality, even starting as an infant. And, this is, you know, we think of it as a perversion now. We think of it as an illness and it is a perversion, but I can totally see that if they keep working on this to normalize it, what's to stop that definition? Who are we to say, who is the court to say they can't have that sexual orientation? This guy in Toronto is saying that their brains are wired differently and giving them all these excuses for being the way that they are. So this whole Pandora's box has been opened. We're redefining marriage. We're redefining what it means to be in a relationship. They just passed in Utah the polygamy. So this is just the next progression, I think. You know, it may take a few more years, but it will happen. This is disgusting.
Right, and we see this push for pedophilia. We do. I talked about the cartoons, at the beginning of the show, and that's one of the recurring themes in one of these cartoons. It's pedophilia. There's a character in one of the shows that is an old man, and he does nothing but chase around little boys. So. I hope you folks can hear me. Maybe Karen's phone did that little trick again. We'll see. She said she's gonna try and call back in. Yeah, we have these issues sometimes. But yeah, she's gonna call back in. But no, this whole push towards pedophilia and doing what feels good and doing whatever your body desires, or whatever your flesh desires. There is a big push for this pedophilia, you know. And the United Nations itself came out with their universal. Rights, universal personal rights, whatever. They said that children are sexual beings. Karen, you're back. You know, I was just talking a little bit about this mm-hmm. push towards pedophilia. Mm-hmm. You know, there mm-hmm. when you can equate that to a relationship, a loving relationship, when you can equate that type of relationship with a child in the same way that you can equate a relationship between two adults, then pretty much the sky is the limit. And that's what they're being pushed for. I've said it before, I'll say it again, go watch the movie, either version of the movie will do. The newer version, I believe from 2003, I think it was, is a little more descriptive. Mm-hmm. But go watch Brave New World. It's available for free on YouTube, and compare to what you see in Brave New World to what's going on in our society now, and the parallels are just amazing. You know, about being a sexual promiscuity, having multiple partners, mm-hmm. different partners, being medicated or drugged at all times. You know, these themes, those are themes that play out through the movie Brave New World. So I would suggest that folks check that out, because and watch it, you know, through to the end to see what happens to that kind of society. You know, and that's where we're headed, though. Unfortunately, that's where we're headed in this country. You know, I find it kind of amusing that our great, you know, and by our great, I mean the United States' great enemies around the globe, a lot of these folks are, they have better moral values than we have, and we're supposed to be a Christian country.
Well, why would we want to do that? I mean, that's a restrictive, old-fashioned, you know, evolution has done a lot to shoot down creation, shoot down the validity and the authority of the Bible. This has come from years and years of teaching and embracing doctrines of demons, basically. And, you know, Satan wants to pull us from Christ as people and be worshiped himself. And this is what we're seeing play out, what the Bible has revealed in prophecy. We're watching play out today. And, you know, Francis Schaeffer did an excellent study on YouTube. It's on YouTube. He goes back and looks at the history of Rome and stuff. And we're very much like Rome. And he was trying to warn people, even back in the 70s, you know, shout the alarm that he was seeing happening in our country and where it was headed. And we've completely ignored it. We don't care. We allow this perversion and this nastiness. We're totally indecent. There is no censorship hardly anymore of any type. And, you know, the laws that changed what decency, we're just vulgar. We're plain vulgar. I mean, look at one of the stories in this book for this year was this Miley Cyrus thing, as we remember. She came out on the MTV Awards just foul and nasty, and she had been a child star and an example for a lot of young kids to follow and has grown up, and now she's just filthy, nasty, foul, vulgar, and thinks it's real cute, real funny. And so decency has gone out the door. What we've considered decency is considered old-fashioned, antiquated, along with the Bible, along with anything that says that there should be some rules or morals for things. And it's just it's kind of interesting. But anyway, Rome ended up crashing and burning. And we think that we can keep having some type of society that runs like this and it's never going to crash or collapse in on itself. But in the end, you know, we're going to fall on our own self. God's just going to let us do whatever we're doing. And I'm just really afraid that, you know, we're going to become more and more vulnerable. And people like, you know, nations like China have been very, very patient, Jay, you know, licking their chops, watching us fall. And, you know, pride has been one of our main staples over the years. And I think we're getting a little bit too... kind of like that frog in the frying pan that the heat keeps turning up, and then eventually it's going to be late by the time we realize that the fire is burning like crazy underneath us, you know, because we're oblivious
right.
to it. I mean, you try to talk about this to people, and they glaze over. They don't want to listen. They don't want to, you know, get uncomfortable. They don't really want to deal with reality. It's almost like people are hypnotized and glazed over. You know, the Bible tells us to be sober-minded, to be alert, to be vigilant, to you know, not be ignorant of the devil's schemes. There's reasons why God has given us these commands in his word, because people are checking their brains out at the door. I mean, they're so entertained. They can't, you know, you look at a lot of toys even this year. We had a couple of little ones. And, you know, a lot of these toys, there's no imagination to these toys. They're entertaining toys. They're toys that have been pushed through the Hollywood scene. So pretty much anything that comes out of Hollywood, including these movies that we're going to, you know, be see out there with this Noah story, you can bet that it's going to be inaccurate. You can just you already know it before it even. Why would Hollywood be biblically accurate in anything?
Right. Good point.
And that goes for the networks too. The History Channel is not biblically accurate. I can't even and won't, I don't watch much TV, but before, when I was watching it especially, I would walk away from anything that had to do with Bible or the life of Jesus or anything, because they bring in these, quote, experts, these professors from these theological universities and stuff that are worldly, you know, and watered down and apostate, and then they bring on these experts and pass it off for truth. But it's not biblical truth. And all it does is confuse people, Jay. There was a lot of errors
Absolutely.
In this Bible series that came
that's by design. Yeah, Karen, that's by design, too. It's
sure.
Like you said, to confuse people.
That's right. And God is not the author of confusion, but our enemy is. And this is why we have to guard our eye gates, our ear gates, our hearts. We have to be careful what we're watching. We have to be careful what we're reading and letting into our, you know, we've got to be careful because these things are confusing. And the Bible says that even the elect might be deceived. You know, you've got to be very careful. And if somebody says they're an expert in something, doesn't mean that it's biblically accurate. We have a comment in the chat. You will get more history from a cornflakes box than the History Channel.
That's true.
So
that's
true.
No, but the agenda behind these shows, as much as people would like to believe it's to shine a good light on Christianity, it's not. It's to make people have more questions, to give them to have them question more than to give them answers.
Well, that's it, Jay. And, you know, if they do get the information, they consider it because they don't know the difference. They don't, you know, just like with a counterfeit bill. Counterfeit, people that work with counterfeit money study the real thing first. You've got to know what the Bible says first, before you can discern if the History Channel is in error. You've got to have something to use as a comparison. But a lot of people, you know, just are willing, rather than opening their own Bibles and letting the Holy Spirit reveal himself in his word and his truth, and look at the life of Jesus and what was said and done, they will go to somewhere like the History Channel for their biblical teaching, or let's hope they never go to somewhere like TBN.
Oh, boy,
or,
no. Hey,
you know,
I used to watch TBN. I did, you know.
I did 2 years ago.
Yeah, years ago. I mean, many years. I used to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me,
yep.
it didn't line up with sound biblical teaching. That was it. That's as nice a way as I'll put it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to
mm-hmm.
offend anyone that still watches TBN or the other Christian networks that are out there. You'll find your way and just know that God is there waiting for you with open arms.
Yeah, this stuff is dangerous to watch. It, you know, there's a lot of prosperity gospel, a lot of feel-good stuff, a lot of motivational speaking. You know, you can be your best life now. This is not our best life.
No, my best life comes when I go home.
Amen. I mean, this is just but a vapor. And yes, we should live as best we can, but that's the problem. People want prosperity. They want life to be good. They want life to be full and fat. And you know what? The reality is disease and all of that happen in this world, and people, everyday people, have problems, you know, real problems that need to be worked through. You can candy coat all you want to, but, you know, there's kids that are dying of leukemia. There's somebody that's got, you know, breast cancer. There's somebody who's struggling with something else, or divorce, or a child in drugs, or whatever this life has brought. And, you know, these people sit there and do all these, like, some of them, the prosperity preachers, are all but doing jumping jacks in front of everybody, acting like, you know, we'll just, it's just a form of entertainment and distraction, in my opinion, because
right.
that does absolutely nothing. I mean, I can get that from New Age information. You know, you look within, be yourself, you know, think positive thoughts, all this kind of stuff. And it's superficial, and it doesn't really soothe your soul. It doesn't give you answers. It doesn't give you true help. And for people that are, you know, suicidal, for people who are depressed, for people who are sick, for people who are really, truly struggling with alcoholism or some type of thing or going through a hard time, that stuff doesn't cut it. It just doesn't. You know, 7 steps to a better life now. It just doesn't work. It's psychobabble. It's
right.
It has that form of godliness but lacks the power. The true power of God.
Well, yeah, you know, people just want to have their ears tickled. Yeah, people just want to have their
right.
ears tickled. They want to hear feel-good messages.
Well, yeah, I mean, wouldn't we all? I mean, who wants to
well,
really get reality, right? I mean, we come on here and we talk about reality. We talk about things that people are uncomfortable with. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to talk about it. They'd rather get off into some mystical la-la land or do some meditation or do some weirdness, and they really think, you know, this is going to get them where they need to go, but they're deceived. And unfortunately, there is some power in that realm, but it's not the true God and not the source of power that we are talking about.
You know, I just want
there
one of these
one
prosperity
God.
Preachers... I want one of these prosperity preachers to point it out to me in the Bible where it says to amass a fortune, and that'll get you into heaven.
Well, they don't, but they go by popular lusts of the flesh that says,
right.
you know, I'm somebody if I've got money and I've got a car and I've got a house. And all of these, a lot of these preachers that take money from people, you know, have jets, they have several homes, they have all these fancy cars and clothes and stuff, and it's just, and then they turn around and say, see how God has blessed me? You know, you could have this too. And it's like, wait a minute. I mean, Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head when he was here. He didn't come with all this fanfare and, you know, a mobile that was he was running around with and jewels all over him and all the hoopla that goes on with this organized religion mess. He just simply walked among the people, loving them, healing them, sharing, you know, the truth with them, and showing them the way to heaven. And it's that simple, Jay, but people don't like it to be simple. It can't be that simple. It can't be that you stop your rebellion and you turn towards God, accept what he did for us on the cross. It's just too easy. It has to be more than that. No, it isn't more than that. Even a little child can understand.
Right.
And, you know, the Bible tells us if we don't become like little children, we won't see the kingdom of heaven. Because we get all puffed up and full of knowledge and try to be God and do all this stuff, when really all we need to do is humble ourselves before God and he will lift
That's
us
it.
Up in due time. You know, he doesn't want
yeah.
us to go around being, you know, less than we are. We're not to think of less. We're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought either. We are not God. That's the bottom line of it. But we're made in the image of God, and we are the apple of his eye. We are so valuable that he sent his only son to die for us. That's how valuable we are. But it all
Amen.
Has to be done under the authority of God and us bowing our knee to his sovereignty and his authority and his ways. And you know, we're either going to do it our way or we're going to do it God's way. We've got to make that decision. Everybody has to make that decision. And there'll be consequences for that choice, one way or another.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I've tried doing it God's way. I mean, I've tried doing it my way before, you know, before God found me. It doesn't work. I'm living proof. It does not work. You know, I'm sure we've all been through it as well. You know. Oh,
absolutely.
Boy. Hard
but
to believe
anyway,
the show is, it's hard to believe we are almost 2 hours into this show.
I know. It's amazing. It,
for you folks listening, you know, this show is scheduled, you know, every week for an hour. And it's just I would rather schedule it for an hour and only be able to do an hour instead of scheduling it for 2 hours and say, oh, you know, we can't do the second hour and things like that. So I would rather extend the show as we go, like you and I have done all but one show. We've extended all but one show. Karen, it's been an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to do the shows with you and to have you part of the network and have all of our listeners with us and things like that. You know, the Lord has done some really good things here on the Truth Radio Network for the last 3 years, and almost three full years. May of 2014 will be the start of our fourth year here on Blog Talk Radio, and I just want to say thanks to everyone for your support, for all the hosts, past, present, and future, for everyone here. And just a reminder, I will be doing the sermon show tomorrow, The Best of C.H. Spurgeon, 9 o'clock in the morning. Start the new year off right. Come and listen to it. But also, that would be officially our 1,000th show tomorrow morning for the sermon show. Now, that's the official count. And we already surpassed the 1,000 show mark as far as the shows that we've done on the network. But the 1,000th show tomorrow is the 1,000th show available for download, because I deleted 20 to 30 shows that we did in the past, either I did that I didn't like or other hosts here requested them and whatnot. So anyway, come and listen to the sermon show tomorrow morning. Listen to The Best of C.H. Spurgeon. Start the new year off right. Tell your friends about the Truth Radio Network in 2014. We're not going anywhere. The Lord has put us here in this place for a reason and for a season. I don't believe that season is up. I don't think our work is done yet. And part of that work is doing the show with you, Karen. You did a great show with Unituber, our sister Angie, for many years. One of the best shows here on the network, you know, and I absolutely love that show. And I'm just glad to be able to sit in with you and kind of continue on with that, you know. So I want to thank
you.
Thank you
for those kind words,
Doc,
yeah.
And for all the listeners. You know, we're not the biggest network, but to me it's never been about numbers, never been about popularity, because there's really only one being that I want to please. And if God is happy and content with the work that we're doing, then that's all that matters to me.
Amen. And this is all for His glory. You know, we're here. We're just vessels of His. We're the mouthpiece, trying to share, you know, and point to Him. And God has called us for such a time as this, I believe. And we're going to need each other. And this next year, we're going to see more and more changes. We're going to, you know, probably see the darkness go even deeper. But you know, we're called to be salt and light in this dark world. And it's going to take courage. It's going to take boldness to speak and stand. But that's the decision that we've made, and that's where God has us. And we do. We appreciate each and every one of you, the archive listeners. If you're listening to us on the archives, thanks so much for listening. And be sure to join us on, excuse me, on Tuesday night at 7 Eastern. If you want to come in and join us in the live chat room, we'd love to have you with us. But if not, we appreciate your downloading our shows. And I'm looking forward to what God's going to do next year. You know,
yeah, amen. You know,
if God be for us, who be against us?
Amen. You know, that's the wonderful thing about doing podcasting and things like that, because, you know, we have a small group that joins us in the chat room, a devoted, loyal group. We love you all. We appreciate your support and your listenership. But there is a huge number of people that listen to our shows through the archives, through the podcast, the downloads, that we never get an opportunity to see in our chat room. And I want to extend a special thank you to you folks. You know, the majority of our listens come from the downloads. You know, and it's just been a wonderful thing. You know, we don't see a lot of people that we touch, you know, and whether we see you or you see us, just know that you're in our hearts and in our prayers.
Amen. And thank you so much for your prayers, everyone who have held us up in prayer and supported us and encouraged us. We just, you know, we really do appreciate it. And, you know, we're all in this thing together. We're here to support one another and to pray for one another and encourage one another, especially in these days that we're heading into. So, you know, it's great to have family. It's great to know that we're in the family of God and that we can, you know, build each other up. So,
amen. Do you realize, I'm sure you know, but it hit me about an hour before we went on air. I was just looking over the news articles and the headlines and whatnot, that it's already 2014 in most of the world. Believe it or not, it's already 2014 in most of the world. So we're lagging behind here. We're entering into a new year. We've got to be bold. We've got to continue to be strong in our faith and proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ came here to save us from ourselves, and through him, it's the only way we're going to meet the Father in heaven.
Amen, and what a glorious day that will be. We look forward to it. That's our hope. And in the meantime, we're in this world, and we're called, like I said, to be salt and light, to be ambassadors of Christ. So, you know, we might be the only Bible that someone reads, and so our lives are important. Every one of us can do something, whether it's leaving a track, you know, on somebody's windshield. There's great gospel tracks that you can get. Some of them are free in different places online. So, you know, but just mainly being an example and, you know, sharing your testimony with people and, you know, getting to know people. And that's how we overcome these things, is through the word and the power, you know, the power of the word and our testimony. So,
amen. Anyway, we're down to the last 4 minutes, Karen. I want to thank you, sis, for everything, for doing the show. It's always fun. You know, we do very little show prep. And I know it might not sound like that, because we just keep on going and going. We do very little show prep. We have a general idea of the things we want to cover, and we just go from there. And it's always good to host a show with, you know, someone who likes to talk as much as I do. I got to be honest. I'm serious. I don't mean that in a bad way. You know, God has given us many gifts, and I've always said the gift that God has given me is the ability to run my mouth, and I'm going to use it for His glory.
Amen. Well, I always wondered why I got conduct reports that were just terrible, and all of my early elementary report cards say, she just talks in class, she talks too much, she disrupts, she blah, blah, you know. And the one thing, I could get good grades, but I couldn't keep it down because I just love to talk to people and kids, and, you know, so it's been an ongoing thing, but God uses that for His good. And we didn't even get to talk about chocolate or coffee tonight, but Jay, get this. We have been looking and searching, you know, in the summer, I believe it was, thieves broke into the Milka factory and took a lot of the Milka bars and such. And, you know, so we've been looking, and they just have not been in the stores. And tonight, Doc found one, you know, kind of hidden among the candies. and there was some Milka bars. So I actually have two Milka bars that he bought for me and delivered here to the studio. So I'm definitely going to open a little piece. I have to. I have not had a Milka bar since they basically have been almost extinct. So
right.
I'm enjoying my Milka bar as we speak.
You know what? And I believe that is a first for this show. You used to do it on every single show with Angie, eating chocolate on the air, having a mid-show chocolate break. I've been drinking my coffee throughout the show, so it's only fair.
Well, that's
Karen,
I mean,
have a happy New Year to you and to your husband,
thank
Doc Gilby. You guys are brothers and sisters of ours here at the network, and we appreciate everything you do for us. And Happy New Year to everyone. And be thankful to the Lord that that God has brought you through another year, that we've made it through the hard times, the trials, the tribulations, and there's a reason for it. We've got to be bolder and take a stronger stand in the coming year.
Amen. Yes.
Well, Karen,
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. I guess that's the end of it for this year for us.
Well, it is, Jane. I just want to make sure that I get in to thank you for being faithful to the Lord and providing the network that we can do. I'm so honored that you asked me to be on with you and that we're able to do this work together. And, you know, we know that God brought us together years ago, and we're just still going strong, and I don't see that stopping at all for a while. Thank you so much for
thank
the opportunity to have our show on the air.
Yeah, thank you for doing the show. And thanks, all the glory, all the thanks, all the praise goes to the Lord. Without him, none of this is possible. So thanks to him, first and foremost, every single day, give thanks to the Lord. Well, we are out of time. We're down to the last 60 seconds, Karen. God bless everyone. Thank you for your support this year, last year, the year before, and for your continued support in the new year. We will be back next year, Karen. That sounds so funny to say. We'll be back next year. And I'll be back running the switchboard for the sermon show in the morning. So come and get some of the best of C.H. Spurgeon. We've got a couple of good sermons lined up for you. But that's it. Visit our website, www.thetruthradionetwork.com, for our broadcasting schedule and show information. Karen, thank you very much. Thanks to everyone. God bless you all. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.